direct from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Sweet Jesus.
And that's
and here we go. And that was Dr. John Palmer. I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
We're not so crazy about the other guy who haunts us and gives us an awful lot of trouble.
Giving us a hard time, this other guy.
Yeah, but Jesus, we're listening to Al. If we just listen for you, Lord, then everything will just go smoothly. And we're all set to make things go smoothly, Lord. And you're Dr. Tony Schiffo, aren't you?
That's right.
And I'm still Dr. Palmer.
And you're a PhD.
And so are you.
I'm a PhD. And we're, what's that, piled high?
Piled higher and deeper. Al, we love you. But with the harassment that we've had to put this show together, I'm beginning to wonder if I really like you, Al. I'm beginning to wonder that very seriously. You know? Tony, today we're going to have a very, very, very special kind of a program. We have been talking for such a long time about belonging to Jesus more deeply. That's Bishop Murphy's theme in his pastoral letter. And it's what the men's conference focused on. It's what all the Life in the Spirit seminars in the diocese are trying to focus on. And it's the prayers that we're offering. And you know, why would Jesus, why would the bishop want us to belong to Jesus more deeply? I remember him last year at the men's conference talking about driving through different towns and seeing so many houses with the lights on late at night and saying to himself, how many of those people and those houses belong to Jesus and are Catholic? How many have we lost? And Lord, how can we get them back?
Well, John, there's no secret that we have lost quite a few.
Yes, we have.
And there's no secret that 40% of the parishioners of other religions come from the Catholic religion.
Yeah.
And that's just a fact.
I know. And they left for a variety of reasons. And I don't care what reason a person offers. What they're really saying is, for some reason, I don't belong to Jesus as deeply as I can. I don't really know him. And what we want to do with today's program is to try to get people to begin to realize it's time to give Jesus a second thought. It's time to try again. You know, if you look around at what's going on in our world, it's horrendous. Look at that, just more young men killed in Afghanistan. You know, and all sorts of problems, people out of work, and there's such a moral decay going on. You know, I wonder if Jesus would ever consider to be crucified once more for us. You know, he's dying every day for us.
Jesus loves us so much. I don't believe there's any sacrifice he wouldn't be willing to take for us. But the other side of the coin is that it's not that difficult to belong more deeply to Jesus. It's not rocket science, Palmer.
You better believe
it. It's not. You don't have to be a psychiatrist to do that.
If it were rocket scientists, we'd be left in the afterblast. Because, you know, it's really so simple. He gave us the rules.
And he just wants to be with us.
Love me, here's the rule. Love me with your whole heart, your whole soul, your whole mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. And he adds, as you love me, so also I will love you. Wow.
Absolutely.
And it's so simple.
Yeah, it's not rocket science.
Listeners, how many of you are in love with somebody? Would you please raise your hand? Let me count. 1, 2, 3. At least 7. We went up. We have 10 listeners.
We have 10 listeners.
But you know what love is on a human level. When you married Joan, you said, I love you.
I love Joan from the moment I married her.
Yeah.
And I love her more and more every day, like Jesus. And I love her tremendously today, like I love Jesus.
And I can understand you doing that, but I wonder about her, you know.
So do I.
No, you know what I'm saying, Tony. You know, we can tease, but human love is so fickle. It comes, it goes, it comes, it goes. And it really just seems to follow the flow of the moment. But God's love, the love of Jesus who dwells in us, is always the same. In Scripture, it's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Problem is, how do we know where God is within us? How do we know that we, and what we try to do, are really trying to follow Jesus and that he's there? How do you know he's there when you're praying?
How do I know?
Yeah.
I actually talk to him, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
Does he answer me? I don't know if he's answering me, but I talk to him, and I'm consoled by the fact that in every place I go, I can talk to him. He's like a forever friend, and he'll go wherever I go.
Remember how we were kids and we had imaginary friends? Well, maybe you didn't, but I did. I was too poor to have a real friend, you know?
I had a brother. I didn't need any more friends.
I had a brother and three sisters. But anyway, he's a friend. And what I've learned over the years, that he dwells in us. He's part and parcel of who you are, and he's part and parcel of who I am, and he's in both of us equally yet differently.
Yes, and I'm finding out, and you know, I belong to the intercessors, and I journal, just like I know you've been doing for 100 years.
122
years. But I'm finding out through journaling that I used to call him my best friend. Mm-hmm. And when I used to talk, I used to say, isn't it so awesome that my best friend's father is the creator of the universe? And through journaling, I'm getting from him, I'm your brother. Mm-hmm. I'm your big brother.
You know what I got? You know, I used to say, God, everything's in your hands, so I'll just follow you. You know what he said? I'm not the Lone Ranger. You are. I'm your faithful companion, Tonto. I'm with you wherever you go and whatever you need and whatever you do. I'm there with you. That's how close I am.
So he is what we want him to be to us.
Yeah.
And he's there with us, no matter in whatever form we want him to be.
That's right. And I asked him once in prayer, because I talk to him, and sometimes I believe he talks back, and I write what he says. But I asked him in prayer, why are you invisible? Why can't we see you? And you know what he said back? I do that purposely, because I want you to have faith to choose me unseen, so you can be my friend. And if you saw me in person, you'd be a slave. And I don't want slaves. I want friends. I want people who freely choose to love me.
Wow.
Isn't that something? That's what he wants.
But he doesn't throw himself on us, does he?
No, he doesn't. You know, and the only thing we have to do, really, is that we have to find a way to turn our eyes to Jesus. And I want to play that song, and I know there are some listeners who don't like music. Listen to the words, even if you can't hum on key. This is Turn Your Eyes to Jesus, and it's Michael Smith. And while you're out there listening, maybe you can turn your heart over to Jesus, too. Just let yourself go a bit. That's step one in learning how to belong to him more deeply. Just let go. And let him in. Do that now, listeners. This is an experiential program. And if you don't do it, we're going to come get you. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. and let him do in you right now whatever he wants to do. Open your heart, tuck away your mind, and just be in his presence. I know it's early in the show to be experiential, but why not? We can do whatever we want on the show, can't we, Tony?
Absolutely. And he really should be with us right from the beginning. Absolutely. And he is.
We're starting with a prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into the hearts of every listener. And here come the words. Michael Smith. And you know, Tony, once you open your heart and start a relationship, you're going to find that you're going to go through what theologians say are three stages of growth. And we're going to talk, I'd like to talk about them for a couple of minutes.
Yeah, let's do it.
And we'll talk back and forth about it. And thank Michael Smith for that lovely song.
Thanks, Mikey.
The stages have been identified, and Ralph Martin has it in his book, Fulfillment of All Dreams, and St. John of the Cross has all the doctors of the church. We're not going to go heavy. It's just three simple stages. Purgative, stage one. That's where you start to go through your internal process of purification. It's where the Holy Spirit now, who's alive in you, is saying to you, hey, I'd like you to consider what you're doing. Do you see that kind of activity? Now that goes against getting closer to me. Would you like to try to get rid of that? Wait, maybe you're a smoker. Maybe you're a drinker. Maybe you watch pornography. Maybe it's you tell lies. It could be anything. And the Spirit will pick that task that needs to be purged first and say, John, would you like to go further? And sometimes I say, well, not. I kind of like that, Lord. And he said, well, okay, I'll come back. About 3 seconds later, are you ready now? You want to come a little deeper? And once you start saying yes, you start having a relationship with God. I'm making it more visible than it really is, but in my way, I've had a very, very concrete kind of training experientially. But what happens in the purgative stage, all the sins that you carry and do, sins of commission predominantly, especially as Saint Teresa says, all your mortal sins are brought up first for cleansing. And then once you in relationship with what she calls a mental voice, then the mortal sins start to go away, and then we start refining on the venial, etc. That's stage one. As St. Teresa says, those are like worms inside of you, and they've got to come out if we're going to have a relationship. Now, nobody ever told me God would ever try to do something like that in me. Did anyone ever say that to you?
No, but isn't that so much like Jesus that he's not actually throwing himself on us?
Right.
He's not like we did with St. Paul. He's doing it on a gradual basis, cleansing us, getting us ready.
For whatever he wants.
For whatever he wants.
And you know, I'm so glad you said that, because the Holy Spirit, who is the mutual love of God the Father and God the Son, will never, ever force himself on us. He's very polite. Is it okay? would you like to go further? And you have to say yes. And listeners, let me say one other point. If you're going to be in a relationship with Jesus, like in any love relationship, you have to set aside time to be with him. So he can come into your heart, just like today. You're listening. We know you're listening. And if I were to ask you, listeners, what's one thing you really feel that the Spirit is bringing up in you that he wants you to get rid of? What's one thing? You don't have to say, you don't have to tell me. I can't hear you at this end anyway. You can only hear me at the other end. But in your heart, say to Jesus, say to the Holy Spirit, will you identify just one little thing that gets in the way of our being close? And then help me to change it. Go ahead, I dare you.
And he will.
Yes, he will.
He will. And he'll help all of us get rid of it.
Yeah.
Didn't he do that to you?
Oh, he certainly did, and he's still working on me.
Yeah, did it to me.
Every day. And you know, there's another, the second stage, I don't want to spend too much time on this stage, is what they call illuminative. And that's where God lets you know and teaches you about him. You know what he told me many, 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 many times? I love you. That's all he says.
Isn't that the most beautiful stage?
I love you. Yeah. And you go in and out of that. Wow. God says he loves me. Well, and he gave me a limerick one time. I wrote a limerick, and I thought it was from him. You know, Jesus loves me. I don't know why. Jesus loves me. For the life of me, I can't figure out why. Jesus loves me. But there's one thing I do know. Jesus never lies. And he loves us. He loves every listener who's listening today. And he'll say in your heart, and maybe through my heart, or your heart, Tony, to them, hey, guys, I love you. I love you. What do you want to hear? I, Jesus the Messiah, with the ascent of the Father through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, will say to you, I love you. And I don't care how bad a life you've lived. I want you to hear that. And then I want you to see if you're going to still turn your back on me.
And then all you have to say is, I love you, Jesus.
That's right.
And pow, that'll do it.
That's right. You heard the old song, Once in Love with Amy, Always in Love with Amy. Well, I put in that, Once in Love with Jesus, Always in Love with Jesus. And it's true.
Absolutely.
It's true. It's so simple because he is dying. He did die for love of us, and he's dying to share that love in us. I love that. It's such a beautiful, beautiful relationship. And the third stage is unitive. Then that's when you get all the way up the scale, if you want, and whatever you're doing all day long, you're in touch with God.
But let's talk about the unitive stage.
Sure.
Let's analyze it quickly. You're an analysis. You analyze people.
Boy, I analyzed you, buddy. But go ahead.
Does that provide you with the self-confidence, with the desire to go forward because you know that Jesus is united with you and he's going to be there to help you get by? And can't you go through life with more confidence?
Well, I guess. But also, too, I found that when I really feel that presence of God so strongly in me, it's always as a surprise. Comes out of left field. I can wake up in the middle of the night and do my little potty run and then come back into bed and try to go to sleep because you get older, you can't go to sleep again, right? And all of a sudden, my inner voice starts saying the rosary. I didn't plan it, but it just starts, Hail Mary, full of grace, or it starts a divine mercy. And somehow or other, I can feel the presence of God. At least I think it's the presence of God. You know, I'm a psychologist. I can't say conclusively. Nobody can. But I get a sense of being one in God's love, and it's really beautiful.
But doesn't that change your whole demeanor?
Yeah.
Doesn't that change your whole attitude? puts confidence in you.
Yeah.
And you're about ready to face the world.
Yeah. Well, and before that, I'd be lying awake worrying about, am I going to pay my bills? Or I have a hangnail. Am I going to die from my hangnail or whatever?
Absolutely.
Know? Yeah, and you just think of that. But, you know, we outline those three stages, purgative, illuminative, and unitive, just to kind of give you hooks. And how many listeners are listening have been through those stages? Raise your hand.
8.
No, I got 37.
You do? We got more listeners.
No, I have my glasses on so I can see them. But you know, it, and also when you're in this relationship, growth occurs incrementally, little tiny steps. You know, and he doesn't say you have to be a zealot and a saint immediately. Yeah, try this little thing first.
But does that mean surrendering?
Absolutely.
Does all this mean surrendering, giving up you, giving up everything that you know of you?
Yeah, it is. It is a surrender. You have to surrender. You have to. He tells me you have to let the old stuff out so I can have room to put my stuff in.
Ah.
So you got to let it go.
That's the surrender.
That's the surrender.
Wow.
And when you let that old stuff out, then he's got room to come in. And it usually comes in my way. Now, and I'm sure that there are people listening who are theologians who can describe this better than I can, but I'm just going to explain it experientially the way I feel it. I can be concerned about something in my life. And I just say, finally, okay, Lord, you please take it. You take it. And what he does, he'll send me a different way of viewing the problem. He changes it in my head. And I know it's from him because I hear myself saying inside, I never thought of it that way before.
Yeah.
Have you had that?
Yeah, no, but I'm just relating back to what I've learned in a study program that we're doing now, that you're in charge of, about St. Ignatius.
Yeah.
Telling us that this concerning is normal for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And disconcerting leads to growth.
Mm-hmm.
And to the light.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get to that light, one of the stages is disconcerting and being in the dark.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's what you do. When you give up your control, and I'm a big control freak. And when I give up control of, and sometimes even what I think is trying to control God and tell him what I want him to do. You know, St. Catherine of Siena.
Yeah.
You know, she used to say her prayers were, listen, Lord, you know, your servant is speaking. And she changed it as she matured and grew up and said, speak, Lord, your servant's listening. And that is the crux. Letting go, as they say in AA, let go, let God. I have people in my practice whose marriages are in trouble or whatever, or they're angry at something. So let it go. Vengeance is God's, not yours. Just let it go. And if you can do that, and it's hard because you have all these feelings associated with it. But once you start in the process and you start to learn, wow, I can talk everything over with God, and I can let it with him, let it be with him. Am I sure it's God? Well, 99.9 tenths. How do you know it's God? Because you have peace, and you don't have a lot of anger and negativity. You always get peace, joy, love, serenity, even about the worst kinds of things. I think of Pope John Paul II going to forgive the man who shot him. You know, I had a client whose mother-in-law and sister were killed by a drunk driver in an accident on a rural road out in New Mexico. And in prayer, she finally had to go out to New Mexico, and she was going to confront the woman who hit their car. And what she found when she got there, she cried, and she forgave her. That's not something we can do without God.
No, without the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Without Jesus.
I want to talk about another area of that spiritual development, and that's John of the Cross, and many of them have said, you have one long, dark night of the soul. And I laugh. I said, boy, I must really be in trouble because I have one every day.
But yeah, that's what I was talking about. This illusion leads to consolation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the cycle you go through. And in order to get to consolation, you have to have that long, dark, disconcerting night.
Yeah. And you know what I tell people too? If you think you know what God is doing in you, and you know the outcome, then you're not talking to God. You're talking to yourself.
Absolutely.
God is totally unpredictable.
So let me just say something.
Sure.
So if you're out there and you're disconcerting and you're having a bad, dark time and you're going through a dark time, just pray. And Jesus will turn that into a light. A light that you'll follow.
Yeah, and it's true. And I know people who are so distraught and upset, and they go out and they pray, and sometimes they go right to a church and pray, and they think they're all by themselves, and there's somebody sitting in the pew, and they're praying, but they're usually upset and crying. A person comes over, says, what's the matter? And you tell them, and the person says the words to your heart, just what you need to hear at that moment. It's so unbelievable.
Life is.
And that's God.
Yes.
That's God coming alive through another person. You know, he's a sneaky son of a gun. He can use any and all means at his disposal and talk to us and teach us and train us. When I was upset, which I usually am, and riding in the car, a song will come on the radio, and it just somehow cuts all the way through to the core of my being. And wow, and I didn't know what it was. And later on, when I would look back, and because the events played out differently, I would say, that was God. That was God somehow giving me a direction and or supporting me or breaking through my grief at the moment or the pain that I was in at the moment. You know, God is never predictable. And if you think you can just sit back and let it happen spiritually and you'll get to know Jesus, you're kidding yourself.
So what do we have to do?
Well, I'll tell you what you have to do. You have to understand that he will come to you when you are most perplexed and upset. He won't ever, ever come when you're feeling hunky-dory. And what we know is that when we're in a mess, the evil one, Satan, if you want, throws the kitchen sink at you to distract you. Look at us today. That's trying to do the show.
Oh.
Everything went
tell
wrong.
Tell them what was going on.
There were 100 different things. You couldn't believe the things that went wrong. And we're here, and I'm trying to pray. How can you pray through clenched teeth? Is that possible? But we prayed then. You and I prayed. It was, let's throw on another show because you
almost
can't be there tomorrow, you know? And we prayed, and we both were told the show must go on, right?
Absolutely.
And
that's
so we're
all the time.
And when you have to sweat it out through those times when it's really bad, that's how God will come to you.
Didn't we do one of your points? Didn't we ask for help?
Yes, we did.
We asked for Jesus, help us out here.
Yeah.
We need some guidance here, and I think he got us going.
And listeners, we want you to know, every time you ask God for help, it'll come to you. It may come through a person, it may come through a song, it may come through a scripture, it may come from a telephone call, it could come through anything. And God knows best how to get into you. And as you're growing spiritually, he will watch over you throughout your growth spurt. And he's a son of a gun. Did you ever teach one of your kids to ride a bicycle?
Oh, yes.
And you run behind them and you hold the seat.
Oh, what a joke.
And you run out of air because you're trying to keep up with them, but you hold the seat. And then what do? Occasionally,
I let them go.
You let go. That's exactly.
But I don't want my kids to know that.
No, but that's what God does. He holds our seat of a bicycle, or maybe just our seat, and he runs along with us. And next thing you know, like the good parent, he lets us go.
We're riding.
Say, okay, come on, step forward, you know. And then you look around and say, where did you go? I'm over here. You could do that all by yourself. You didn't need me. You just needed me to get you started. That's what our show is about today. For every listener, we want them to get started. And we're promising Jesus is going to hold your seat. And if you're slow to get off the couch and let him hear your seat, you know what he's going to do? He's going to kick you in the seat and say, come on, let's get going. You know? And he will step in only when he sees that you really need help. I found that God is very funny. I don't know about you, but some of the things that happened in me, I was upset the other day, and I'm saying, Jesus, you know, what's going on here? I'm going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Do I have a split personality? You know what he said? He said, no, you don't have a split personality. I said, I don't? No, he said, you don't have any personality. He's funny. He puts you down. He makes you laugh about yourself. And that's a big surprise to me. God has a sense of humor. Did you know that?
Well, I found that through you, that Jesus has a sense of humor.
And should I take that as an insult? I got to think about it.
And now he's starting to show a sense of humor. Yeah,
but he is funny, you know? The only thing I do know, sometimes, listeners, if you're asking for help, you're going to have to wait a bit. Because he's not an on-demand God. He's there. You know, I remember saying to him, you know what I always have problems with my legs and my knees, and they're always hurting. I don't know why. I guess it's just old age, whatever, arthritis, whatever. And I finally said in prayer, you know, Jesus, if you would heal my knees, I could do so much more for you. And you know what he said? You're trying to manipulate me. What do you mean?
He knows you.
I know he knows me.
He knows you well.
You're a big manipulator, Palmer, you know? And we all do that.
Well.
There are people who go to the churches and they make out 100 copies of a novena, and then they leave 3,000 copies, and then by that they'll say to you, God is going to do what you want. Well, no, he may or may not do what you want. You know, if it's good for you, God will always do what he wants. But if it's not good for you, he ain't going to do it. You know?
But he does, and if he does, he does it in his own time, as you said.
Yeah.
And his time is not our time.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't. He's timeless. That's the thing that gets me. He say, I healed you. You know what he said one time? I'm healing you of something that you don't even know need healing. And I said, if you're healing me of something that I don't know needs healing, how do I know I'm healed? And he calls
me in the dark.
Calls me a Philadelphia lawyer. You're a Philadelphia lawyer. You're always trying to get these little fine points across. I don't want to go. We're going on longer than we normally would,
yeah,
but that's all right. There are some weapons we can use that will help us beat off evil and grow in his love. The other night when I gave a workshop at St. Mary's, he gave me this image, and I'm going to offer it to you and to the listeners as to his view of life. You know how the Israelites went through the river with the river parting,
mm-hmm.
and the
Moses.
Egyptians behind them and everything mm-hmm. else? Well, he gave me an image. He said, you're like the Jewish people. You want to go ahead to me, so I part the seas for you. And ahead is forever. That's where I am. On either side, there are walls of water. What's held back on the left side, the walls are held back by sanctifying grace. And on the right side, they're held back by actual grace. And behind you is life in the world of man. And you're constantly trying to go across that river. When you are in sync with me, you run across like nothing to it. when we're not together, you better learn how to swim.
See, that's the key. That's the secret of life.
Yeah.
That you hit it. The secret of life is being in sync with Jesus.
That's right.
Nothing is impossible if we're in sync.
Now, we're Catholic, but there are people, that's right. And we're Catholic, and there are people who aren't Catholic, and that's all right, too, because he's in sync with them. But for Catholics, we have some weapons. We have the sacraments, and they offer us all the grace that we need to stay close to him as we grow. And then for others who don't have the sacraments, as well as for Catholics, we have scripture. Have prayer. In our religion, the Catholic religion, we have adoration of the Blessed Sacrament because we believe in true presence of the Eucharist. We also have a devotion to Mary, so we believe in the Rosary, and there's so many
other prayer devotions.
That's
our greatest gift.
Yeah. There are so many ways that we all can find our way to be one-on-one with God, and we can belong to him. You know, the saints were like that.
Oh, they absolutely
were. The saints were like that.
Simple.
Don't you
innocent.
Have a saint of the day?
I have several. I don't even, right to this minute,
you
I don't know
one.
You
got Juan Diego. Why don't you talk a little, can you
talk,
about?
Sure, yeah. I can talk about Juan Diego.
I've loved him. I'm going to even put,
online.
I know how to even put music on, hopefully.
Keep it low.
I'll try.
Because I want to make sure I say it right.
Go ahead.
Saint Juan Diego. How did Saint Juan Diego feel about himself? Very simple, in a simple sentence.
Mm-hmm.
He said, I am a nobody.
Yeah.
I am a small rope.
Mm-hmm.
I am a tiny ladder.
Mm-hmm.
The tall end and a leaf. I'm just a nobody.
Mm-hmm.
These were the words of
I'm so glad he said that. It puts me in his class. I feel like a worm at times. Go ahead.
Well, anyway, he was a Mexican peasant, as we all know probably, who lived in obscurity as a farmer and a weaver. He wasn't born with religion. He was born of a pagan family,
mm-hmm.
whose Mexican name meant the talking eagle. He was converted to Christianity in the year 1524, right about the time you were born,
that's
Palmer.
Right. That's day of, by, 1 year after me.
1 year after you, by Franciscan missionaries who baptized him and his wife, Maria Lucia. But Maria died several years later, and Juan Diego continued in his newfound faith and his newfound love, Jesus. He walked to the church each Saturday and Sunday.
That newfound faith, the newfound love. That's what we're talking about, listeners.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he's just an example. I'm sorry.
Just one example of millions.
Yeah.
On one such day, December 9th to be exact, in the year 1531, he was walking past a hill when he heard the beautiful sound of a singing birds. When the music stopped, Juan heard his name being called, and when he climbed the hill, he saw a shining young woman who appeared to be dressed as a princess. She gently called him over and told him that she was the Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of the True God.
Could you imagine if that ever happened to you?
I faint.
Me too. I wouldn't know what to do.
You know what? I wouldn't know what to do.
No.
What a dream. Wow. And the creator of all things, Lord of heaven and earth, she asked that he approach the bishop and request a temple to be built on the spot where she had appeared.
Mm.
So I may exhibit and give all my love and compassion, help and protection, because I am your merciful mother.
Wow.
Like he's our brother.
Yeah.
Juan Diego, no doubt, still in disbelief in himself, ran to the bishop, told him what he had heard and what he had experienced. The bishop was not convinced, like normal. This was a true apparition, and asked Juan Diego for a sign. Juan dutifully returned to the hill, and Mary promised him a sign of the following day. But Juan was very ill at home, and when his uncle requested a priest to visit him the next day, Juan Diego went by a different route to the city. He left the home, ill and all. He was not able to outdo Providence, however, because Our Lady appeared to him on the way and calmed his fears about his sick uncle, assuring him that he would be cured. She then instructed Juan to climb the hill again and gather the roses which he would find growing there as a sign of the and show a sign to the bishop. In spite of his doubts at finding the roses in winter, cold winter day, Juan humbly obeyed and was amazing to discover beautiful Spanish roses growing in the midst of the brush. He hurriedly gathered some up and wrapped them in his coat, in his woven cloak. When he arrived at the bishop's residence, he opened his cloak before him, and the roses fell out at his feet, revealing a beautiful image of the Blessed Virgin Mary inside, not known as Our Lady of Guadalupe. When the bishop saw the image, he fell to his knees in wonder. He then ordered a shrine of the Virgin Mary to be built, and in the next 7 years, 8 million Mexican people were baptized there. Juan lived over the rest of his life at the chapel, being its caretaker and quietly adoring God. He was canonized by Pope John Paul II on July 31st, 2002. What a simple life.
Can you imagine the faith it took just to say, I'm going to go to the bishop, and not even really truly knowing what was under the roses in his cloak?
That's right.
Amazing. Total faith in just saying, yes, Lord.
And he, like Mary and so many other saints, just simply said, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, simple.
Let it be. I'll do it.
Yeah. You know? And it's just, he's just one of many witnesses. You had others there, but I'm glad he was on top. That you talked about him. He's perfect.
He wasn't the plan guy.
I know, but we don't do plans.
Yeah, he was not the plan guy.
You know
guy.
What they say, and I've not been in AA, just in case people think
oh,
I have
you
been.
Weren't?
No.
Oh,
no.
But, I'm sorry I ever said that.
What they say is, you know, if you want to make God laugh, make plans.
Oh, yeah, you know? Absolutely.
Because he will. Now, listeners, we gave you a little bit about spiritual life. And we gave you an example of someone who just said yes, just like we're asking you to do today.
But he not only said yes, he was simple. Yeah. He was humble. He wasn't like, he just was a humble, simple guy.
Yeah.
I like him.
Yeah, well, you know, I would too.
You know, I like you too.
I could beat him at poker. He's that simple. No, you know what I'm saying? But isn't that... That's all we're asked. You know, there's a sign. I used to work in Albertson at the National Center on Disabilities. Now it's just back to the name Abilities. But there was a sign by the children's school, and it says, blessed is the man who never loses the heart of a child. Isn't that so simple? That's what God wants us. He calls us his children, you know?
Wants it to be simple like.
Yeah, yeah. And if we are that simple, then his kingdom is going to come. And it's going to come inside of us. Inside of, come more fully alive inside of us. That's what belonging to Jesus means. You let Jesus come alive in you. Hmm. And how do you feed him? Well, Scripture, prayer, and the Eucharist. And you allow that intimate, personal, internal relationship to grow. Now, I know there are listeners, Tony, saying, you know, I'm only listening to this because my wife is listening, and I'm stuck here, and I can't get away. And to those people who are saying that, you might even be the wife saying, I'm only listening because my husband is listening. But if and if you are doubtful and say, these two guys are nuts, I offer you the same line that was offered to me. Don't knock it until you try it. And if you haven't tried it, then you are up to a big, big disappointment. And I would tell my kids who were talking about, you know, Dad, you're so close to God. You know, how do you know it's God? I said, well, I don't know 100%, but let me put it to you this way. If I live my life as if I was living as close to God as possible, and I'm wrong, what have I lost?
Absolutely.
But if I live my life as if I'm not close to God, and I'm wrong,
you lost everything.
You better believe it. Better believe it. And that's the truth of all of us.
So you know what? You're not as crazy as they think you are. You're crazy like a fox.
But isn't that a wonderful...
I'm kidding.
But isn't that a wonderful way to just look at things? And
yes.
Once you open yourself, his kingdom is going to come. I have to play the next song because he's giving me a second lead for the next song.
All right, Nick, here it comes.
Hey, Nick, George.
And George, listen up.
We hope it's going to come. At least it's perky, so you don't have to listen to two old guys.
Like seed and rain, your word goes out.
O Lord, thy kingdom come.
Gardens of the heart to sprout.
O Lord, thy kingdom come.
The blooms that grow there shall remain.
O Lord, thy kingdom come.
There set the sign of your holy reign.
O Lord, thy kingdom come. We wait.
You know, Tony, Tuesday night I did a workshop on God's love, on unity and love. And people, I got letters, which I do get, and words that I get. And I want to read this one because it's so special. And it fits in with everything we're talking about. I am an experience of your heart. I cannot be seen with your time-limited human eyes. I am only seen through the surrendered eyes of your heart. Thus I call you to become in one in love with us, in the kingdom of our love that is our dwelling place in you. How do you know that what I say is true? You experience my presence in you somehow. I come to you in the trials of your life in ways that surprise you. I give you moments of touches of my love in you experientially. Not something you can explain. It just occurs in your being in ways that are experiential and defy explanation. I'm the Blessed Trinity. I am unity of the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit that somehow dwells in you. I'm the source of life eternal in all surrendered friends. Why am I here? Why do I call to you? It's simple. I want you to receive our gift of unity and love even as you walk in your life in the time-driven world of man. We say nothing new. We simply say, as you love us with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole mind, we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will love you with our whole heart, our whole soul, and our whole mind. What do these words mean? They mean that if you wish to be with all of us in love for eternity, you must engage in a lifetime of surrender through which you freely choose repeatedly to allow our love in you to lead you through your life and time, no matter what trials you face. Simply tell you, through the sacrifice of our Son for your sins, that we love you. Sounds so simple, yet it defies understanding. We ask for your unconditional surrender to our presence in you experientially daily. We reach down from above and we touch you back with our divine unconditional love. We defy understanding. That's because we speak to your human heart, soul, mind through our divine intimate love. We touch each soul in the ways that best relate to where the person is in his or her walk in time. A touch of love is never the same. Each touch is infinitely personal and intimate and is just right for the moment in time when a person reaches out to touch us in love. Listeners, you will find our touches of love so unique and so special that you cannot deny its source is our unity. The only way you can hear us is to repent and turn back to us. And then you hear us loud and clear. If you truly offer yourself to us, we will come into your being with such power and grace that our touches of love will overwhelm you. How do you discern that it's us in you? It's easy. You experience our peace in your being. It's that unexplainable sense of the loving that is there. It's something powerful, and it's in you, and you know it's not you. It's not something disruptive and negative. It's just a quiet sense that something is so powerful and yet so gentle in you that you know it's truly our unity and love that's touching your heart. May come as just stillness, may come as joy and peace, or any other positive virtue that convinces you that our touch of love is heaven sent. There's no time frame for these experiences of our loving you. They are so multifaceted. They're totally unpredictable. However, they are quite real. We dare say that if you have but one touch of our love in your lifetime, you will always seek more and more of our love. You know, listeners, the words that I'm reading words I've gotten in prayer. And you may not get words. You may get peace. You may get joy. You may get love. You may get answers to problems. You may get healings. That's how to belong to Jesus more deeply. When you let yourself become open to his presence and his love in you, he'll touch you, and he'll surprise you, and he'll love you, and he'll heal you. We pray for you as listeners. We pray that you would be touched by Jesus to even just begin to seek after him. Isn't that what we're after, Tony?
Absolutely.
We want them to experience that love.
We want everyone to experience that love.
Yes, we do. And that's why we're doing these programs. Listeners, we pay for these programs ourselves out of our pocket. We're not millionaires. But we're so crazy in love with Jesus, we want to give you that gift over the radio. And we want you to listen and come to Jesus.
And we want you to spread that love. We want it to be catching. We want it to go to you. Throw it over to someone else. Keep passing on that love. That's what Jesus wants.
It is. And if you do it, you're going to feel like $1 million. I've never seen $1 million. I've never touched $1 million. But I know what it's like to feel like $1 million. You know, Tony, can you believe that we rambled on for so long?
You know, I enjoyed this session so much. Just you and I.
We're fun.
We're bonded.
Yeah. If you give me chocolate, they're going to punch you in the nose again. But, you know, that's the way God is. He gives us surprises. And he touches us.
And he shows us.
Hey, listeners, is there anybody listening who needs a touch of love? Then let Jesus touch you right now. Let his love come in. And we're going to slide out of here with a little noisy song at the end. But that's all right. We know that you'll enjoy getting up and dancing, hopefully, to whatever is coming your way. I'm going to try.
And I hope you're not going to sing.
Oh, God, no. Okay. But I need to get my legs moving. We've been sitting for almost an hour.
Yes. But you know what, Palmer? Let's thank the good people for listening.
Absolutely.
We love you guys.
We love you, and we hope that you will learn to become more deeply in love with Jesus. That's what we're about. Love Jesus.
What else is there but to love Jesus?
Wash away.